To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Jay here, PositiveSarcasm.com, recorded here from Baltimore, Maryland. Is that an In-N-Out? Oh, if that's really an In-N-Out, okay, then count. I think it is. Is that a Dairy Queen? I can't tell from here. I'll have to look it up on the map. That's a medieval times. There's a medieval times over there. We're about to go back to medieval times. You realize that, right? I'm in the town where, I mean, there was a bridge. I just landed about 7:45 this morning. I got a picture, a really cool picture of the bridge. Quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned with this town, they haven't destroyed enough roads. There's no reason. This place is a dump. We need to destroy more bridges and more roads. Oh, look, a Cheetos truck. They do happen to have an off-Broadway, a Burlington coat factory. I might have to visit there, to be perfectly honest with you. off-Broadway shoes. Is that really an...
There's
no way that's an... It may be a Whataburger. And Whataburger is actually overrated, I'll be perfectly honest with you. There's a Staples, a PetSmart, a Michaels, Jared. He went to Jared. Maybe someday I will. Maybe someday some bitch will say yes. Let me see. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I'm at some... Oh, my God. There's a Buick. I see a Buick in the middle of a donut ring, but I can tell you right now, this Buick is not doing donuts in that parking lot. But I do find it kind of clever that it's sitting right there. Anyways, I'm also afraid of heights. So, we are going to get to some Q&A, but I just wanted to kind of take in the environment that is, I guess you'd call it Hanover, Maryland. But, I landed here. I'm going to be here for a few days. Wanted to get a recording in. I figured it'd be more interesting to do it here. What is that? There's got to be some, like, I mean, we are technically in the South, so there's probably going to be, like, a Bojangles chicken and some of those random, you know, Southern hospitality, you know, Applebee's types of chains here. So I'm just hanging out by the window. This ottoman, by the way, this is nice. I do like this. Or not ottoman. What do you call these things? Chaise lounge. These things I love. I'm totally getting one of these for myself. I'm not giving it away this time. I've been too fucking stupid in the past. This is kind of the little old me version of this podcast, the original me of this podcast. Where water, dead. Ooh, a Staples. Man, I want to eat so much. I'm going out to dinner with some people tonight, and they're gonna schmooze me and blah blah blah. It's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Just give me. Don't jump, lady, please. It's not worth it. Recorded here from Baltimore, Maryland. You can find me on Instagram at @positive_sarcasm. Like, subscribe, share, donate, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. If it's a little sunny over here, well, there's a reason for it. I kind of enjoy the backdrop of this boring-ass place. I swear, 5 minutes after we landed in Baltimore, the plane was already up on blocks because somebody had stolen the tires. This is technically the new city that never sleeps because everybody here is high on crack. So, let's see here. What else we got? Hustle, bustle. I feel like it's like Hooksy. Look at all those condos. Condos over here. What else? Towers. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to fall out. Like, if I keep on leaning over here more, I feel like it's going to be permanent. But, oh, there goes my phone. But, yeah. It is pretty from here. I feel like I'm in Fairfax, Virginia, to be perfectly honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, we landed, whatever. Did see that bridge. The place is a mess. And the boat that smashed into it, that's still there, just hanging out. What I was saying is, like, you know what? For that boat, they should take that boat, rip it apart, and use all the pieces of the boat to rebuild the bridge. I think it'd be perfect. You know what? To me, that is the true form of recycling. If a boat hits a bridge and breaks the bridge, they should be allowed legally to take that boat, tear it apart, and use it to rebuild the bridge with all those parts. Whether there's Kias in there, or soybeans, or somebody's drug money, use all of that to rebuild that bridge. I'm sure there's plenty of goods and services in there that don't need to be leaving the great United States, and they can be used to rebuild that bridge to a town that nobody cares about. That being said, Instagram at positive_sarcasm. You can email me directly through my website, positivesarcasm@outlook.com is my email, so you can do that. Or you can contact me at the contact page at positivesarcasm.com. Crush concerns, comments, all that stuff. Let's see. Like, subscribe. You can go to YouTube, Positive Sarcasm, back on there. Rumble, especially Rumble, Positive Sarcasm for the podcast. I actually found a couple blogs, unfinished blogs that I wanted to get out there soon. I think they just needed like a home. I think I just needed like a home base. I needed to kind of finish it off with like one more paragraph, and those two blogs would technically be done. And I don't know what happened, but I'm going to reorganize them, get them back out there, and reorganize them, go through them right towards the end, you know, get a nice ending on them, and then get them up on the website, assuming that I at least approve that they're somewhat halfway decent. So that being said, so Rumble and YouTube for the video portions of this podcast that you can like and subscribe and comment, or you can just do the audio version, which is available anywhere on the interwebs, including Substack, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, blah, 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 blah. That being said, Dig.com Q&A is the game of the week. It is a Monday, and I'm sitting here in some brand new Magnani Spanish loafers, and let's get after it. Looks like this first one's going to be really interesting. My boyfriend of 2 years still lives with his ex, the mother of his children. When we met, he explained the situation was complicated. Well, it sounds like it. And I accepted that it would remain so for some time while he sorted out how to fully extricate himself and truly be with me. Obviously, 2 years have passed, so I'm losing hope on that front. But I haven't given up yet. Sue me. However, I'm writing about a specific matter of disagreement between us. He still sleeps in the same bed as his ex. This really upsets me, and I think he could sleep in a bed recently left empty by one of his children going to college. He says that this is unnecessary as there is no intimacy between them. One time he said to me, during another argument on this, some might say that this is an argument about furniture. Am I in the wrong here, or am I have a right to be upset? I would say give him 90 days. Let's just cut it in the middle. I mean, my immediate reaction is to get rid of him. It's just get rid of the guy. I would say give him 90 days. 90 days to, let him prove his point. You've got 90 days to find another place. Literally, find another place, figure out your life, and then come find me. And actually, even more so, what I would do is actually break contact from him. Break contact from him, say, go spend 90 days so I'm not bothering you. If you truly care about me, go take 90 days. This is what in any type of relationship, okay? Take 90 days. All right? Don't give 30, because the 30s, you're full of shit. 90 days. Disconnect from that person for 90 days. Let that person figure it out. If they are with somebody, if they're still sleeping in the same bed as their ex, obviously they got some interesting problems. Things can be solved rather quickly if you put an ultimatum in front of somebody's face and you disconnect from them for 3 months and let them see what they do. If they come out on top and blah, 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 and they got I got my own place, I got my own car, I separated completely, I figured out joint custody and all this other stuff. Okay. There. Refresher. Start from scratch. See if the chemistry is still there between you two. That's what I would do. That's what I recommend. If they say, no, it's not feasible, they fight back with you on any account of it, like, no, I'm not doing this, you're being ridiculous, then you have to, unfortunately, you have to disconnect. But during that 90 days, you also have to be patient and let them make time to find a place and get situated, and you have to be patient. You can't be screwing around, and you got to be faithful, and you've got to be all these things worth working towards. You have to be worth it too. If they're obviously not worth it because they're staying in the same place and sleeping as their ex and sleeping in the same bed, which means they're obviously full of shit. Most likely it's not going to work out. And after 90 days, you're going to be like, huh, it was a good refresher. Clearly it wasn't going to work out. I'm glad I didn't just rush into another relationship. Great. I took a few months to see what would happen. Clearly nothing happened of it. Or maybe something miraculous happens and the guy grows up. That does happen. It certainly does. But it gives you that time window where you're just not rushing into another thing.
Okay. Because you're rushing in with your own problems, too, because you're obviously too fucking stupid to realize that you're getting played here, that you're dating a guy who's still sleeping in the same bed as his ex, and you're asking the question, is this a good idea? So, joke's on you, lady. But give him the 90 days. Maybe as he gets smarter, you do, too. Let's move on to the next one. Now, that's the middle ground. Obviously, my first reaction is get out of that situation. It never works that easily, though. It never. Next one. I'm a mid-50s male, retired early and work part-time at a retail shop in their, quote, order online pickup in-store desk. All right. A few days ago, I was waiting on a customer who went on and on about his wife, about how his wife orders online, how he has to pick it up, and while he's talking, a nice woman came up, 40s, 50s years old, and waited. We made eye contact, and she rolled her eyes about the guy talking on, and I kind of rolled my eyes also. Okay. As the guy was done checking to make sure he got everything and started to walk away, he said something about, I hope your wife doesn't do things like this to you. Okay. I said, I am single. I don't need to worry about it. Aha. The quote, the lady stepped up to the area and said, I am single too. Maybe we should have coffee or something sometime. I said, sure. All while I scanned her phone, the package she picked up from the bins and printed the receipt, which took a very short amount of time. She then walked away. As I had another customer walking up, I really couldn't ask he to come back to counter to ask more questions. Wait. As I had another customer walking up, I really couldn't ask her to come back to the counter to ask more questions. So she gave me the invitation to get together. That is the good news. Bad news is she personally didn't give me any contact info. Good news is I have her account information with name, address, and phone number. Do I use this information to call her, or because it is actually the store's information, I have access to... the store's information or access I shouldn't. Or I check her public social media profiles, and it says she is single, so I thought about going to the area around where she lives and conveniently running into her. Do I have the address? Is this creepish, stalkish? Okay. All right, so what did she say to you? Okay. You have her information. You know who she is. What did she say to you? She said, I am single too. Maybe we should have coffee or something sometime. I said, sure. All while I scanned her phone, the package she picked up from the bins. Okay. We can have coffee sometime. All right. You send her a message on Facebook, and you ask her simply this. Hey, we met at the store. You asked if we should go get you asked me if we'd like to go get coffee. Would you still like to go get coffee? She says, she reads it, doesn't say anything back, says no, or says, who is this, blah, blah, blah. All right. Sorry, bro. You tried. She offered. She came to you and said, hey, would you like to go get coffee sometime? And you said, sure. All right. And it's one of those things, you can't call her on your phone. That's store information. You can't email her. That's store information. You can't go to her address. That's store information. That's going to get you in trouble. Facebook information, though, that's different. That is not store information. Okay? Her Instagram, that is not store information. You scanned her phone. She knows that you know who she is, so you know how to look her up. And she asked you. So, and most people would say, no, don't do this. What do you expect? Honestly, what do you expect from the guy? He was asked to go get coffee with somebody. And then he had a job to do. He decided to finish doing his job and then focus on personal stuff. So, why not? Go on Facebook. You know who she is. You clearly have already looked it up. Look her up. Shoot her an email. What else is Facebook for? What else is Instagram for besides personal BS and promoting your brand? That's it. Sometimes your brand is OnlyFans, and there's generally a link to that as well. But still, that's the two things it's for. You can look them up online and ask them, well, hey, you asked me out for coffee. Are you still up for that? No. Okay. Thanks anyways. Take care. Yeah. Hey, you asked if I like to go coffee. Are you still interested? Yes, I am very much so. Great. Fantastic. Where would you like to pick me up? You want me to pick you up? You want me to meet you somewhere? Don't overthink it, bro. Well, don't say that you overthought it. Don't tell her that you overthought it. Just say, cool. Where, what time? And then go from there. That's it. It doesn't have to be that goddamn complicated. Just go there. Just ask her. Go find her on FB. That's what it's for. Don't say that it's Facebook stalking. No, because you wanted to respect the store information, therefore you didn't use it. That's not your phone number to use. She didn't give you her phone number. She didn't give you her email address. She didn't give you her address. She didn't give you her fucking homing pigeon account. She did give you her name, which allows you to look her up on Facebook and send her a message that way. Simple as that. Okay? And if you lose your job at Best Buy, whoop-de-doo. There's plenty of other crappy jobs you can go apply for right now. Hell, you can go work at Five Guys Burger Place and make over $20 an hour with a matching 401k and free meals. So guess what? Take the risk. Could be the love of your life that leads on to something more. What, the love of your life leads on to some... See what I'm pointing... Yeah, there you go. Do it. Come on. She asked you. Game on. And you're doing it the right way by not using her phone number. Let's move on to the next one. Let's see. Bad news, she's giving me contact information. That's all right. You got her name. All right. My 29-year-old, fully independent daughter recently told me that she does not wish to hear negative comments from me. If you, quote, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. I'm a retired senior director of a large multi-million dollar firm. Let's see. Okay, multi-million dollar firm. All right, so you're kind of a... I don't know if you noticed, but I'm kind of a big deal. With two postgraduate degrees, I successfully managed hundreds of employees over the years and undertook the extensive complaint-free personal management, staff development, and mentoring. I have a forthright personality and am used to speaking my mind directly with family. Due to the years of having to be politically correct in the office, I raised my daughter to be a strong, successful career woman. I am at a loss now that I must be politically correct now that I must be really correct all the time. I know you will probably tell me I'm in the wrong, but I'm in my late 60s. I am tired of having to self-censor. I've done it for so many years, and in my so many professional and social settings, my daughter was one of my only filter-free outlets. Do I just suck it up, smile, shut my mouth, and stop being me? Or do I need to pay a therapist to listen to my invective? I don't know what that means. I'm not that fucking bright. No, if your daughter doesn't want to hear it, then you just don't talk to your daughter about it. You just go find some friends to talk to that about it. You know, you raised her to be this, and obviously she took on her own personality traits. And if you're talking about her, is that what you're saying? Or is that what her problem is? She doesn't want to hear negative comments from me. Okay, so your negative comments aren't towards her. It's just about stuff in general. So obviously... you have a personality of your opinions of things, and obviously, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. I get it. That gets old after a while, though. And quite frankly, are you just bringing it up to her to get her opinion on things? Have you asked her what her opinions are on things? Because maybe if you, like, hey, can I talk to you about some culture stuff that's really bothering me? Or do you just, is she just not into that? She doesn't want to talk about it? Do you want, like, it's obviously not about her. So just if you want to hang out with your daughter and talk with your daughter, just talk to your daughter and see what she's up to and blah, blah, blah. Then talk to her about what she's up. Yeah, her goals and stuff like that. Did you meet anybody? Did you get a promotion? Where are you moving to? Do you know, how's your new place? I don't know. But obviously, you know, Pops talking about politics is not going to appeal to the highly successful career woman. So it's not your thing. So you know what? She doesn't want to hear it. She doesn't have to hear it. So it's not like you're talking smack about her. You're just complaining about, I don't know, the border, which I get. I mean, that's a conversation with me at another time, but I get it. So she doesn't want to hear it. Don't tell her about it. Go find friends to complain it to. Let's do another one. I have a 25-year-old niece, Meadow, who embraces the hippie lifestyle. She's kind, sweet, and loves anyone. Everyone, excuse me. She also has also opposed the establishment. She's heavily tattooed and has several facial piercings and thick underarm hair. Gross. My son is the complete opposite. He's in the business world and very professional in his manner and dress. He's getting married in 3 months to a lovely girl. Meadow was invited because she wanted to come. My son is nervous about her coming to the wedding. He doesn't know Meadow that well. They were close as kids, but haven't seen much of each other in the adulthood. My son is worried Meadow will wear an outfit that will display the tattoos and her bushy underarm hair. Gross. He's afraid she will be a spectacle and her parents will become the focus of the wedding and not his lovely bride. He's also worried someone will ridicule or comment about Meadow, and then he will have to defend her, causing a disruption. None of us are close to Meadow or feel comfortable with her appearance. How do we handle her presence at the wedding? Simple. I'll make this real simple for you. A lot of people don't think this is harsh, but this is the truth. Who's getting married? Is Meadow getting married? No. Meadow's not getting married. Because Meadow's got bushy underarms. Okay? It's not the tattoos. The tattoos are no big deal. It's the underarm hair. I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's not appealing. And you're talking to a guy who doesn't have underarm hair. Or forearm hair. Or leg hair. Or chest hair. Okay? Or facial hair, for that matter. Shaved today. Looking good. Looking stylish. But, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Underarm hair? Not attractive. Pretty gross. Don't do it. If you like, if you got some buds growing, like you just, you know, haven't shaved in like a day or so, and maybe you got a couple pricklies underneath your arm here, okay, no big deal. You grow it out so you can grow it out. I a little bit. I get that. We're talking about, you know, jungle fur underneath your arm hair, underneath your armpits. You get it. You're trying to make a statement. You don't do that at a wedding. Okay? The wedding is about two people. Two people alone. They are the ones who pay for the wedding generally nowadays, who do all the arrangements, the organization. It's their day to enjoy and have a wonderful moment in time that they'll cherish for the rest of their lives. Not Meadow. So in my opinion, if Meadow wants to be at the wedding, she needs to conform a little bit. A little bit. She doesn't have to hide the tattoos, but she should probably hide that forearm, that underarm hair. That's pretty gross. She needs to conform a little bit. Otherwise, you know what? Don't go to the wedding. Don't be invited. Don't be invited. Don't go. I don't like that. The wedding is never, should never, ever, ever be about anyone other than the two people that are getting married. They are the ones taking the risk, going down the road, making that commitment together. All these other things, blah, 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 blah. Nobody else. Anybody who complains at a wedding and they're the ones not getting married, kick rocks. Get out. You don't like it? Get lost. Get in your car. Leave the wedding. Nobody's going to miss you. I mean that. Truly. I'm very black and white about weddings. Two people. They're the focus. No one else. Not underarm hair lady. Let's do one more. My mom was a hoarder. In her will, she left her house to be split between me and my brother. The city condemned the house, and while it had great bones, it needed a lot of cleanup and work. My brother and his wife rent, but they have small children and zero interest in working on the house. They wanted to sell their share, so I bought them out totally by the book. Okay, done. Boom. I did some scary refinancing and poured my life into the house for the next 18 months. I got on a first-name basis with guys in local scrap metal business, tons of city workers, and everyone on home repair subreddits. I applied for every tiny, obscure cleanup or sweat equity grant program there is. I ended up hiring 12 dumpsters overall. My friends and coworkers donated time and skills, and I got a tetanus shot and a broken arm, but the house is gorgeous. My brother and his wife were understandably very busy with their kids, but never so much as helped plant a shrub or paint a room. I love it, and it's the type of old, beautiful house I could never have afforded without this. Since I still needed to balance the budget, I'm bringing my two longtime roommates with me as renters when our lease ends. My sister-in-law recently saw the house for the first time, and she won't stop hinting about how it would be such a better place for the kids to grow up and how I can't possibly need that much space as a single woman and how it's a waste of have renters when it could go with a family with kids. It's never anything outright enough that I could say no, but it's nonstop. My brother doesn't join in but won't stop it either. How do I shut her down? So they wanted nothing to do with it. So let me just say right here. According to this, they wanted to sell. My brother and his wife rent, but they have small children and zero interest in working on the house. They wanted to sell their share, so I bought them out totally by the book. Okay. And then you spent the next 18 months networking, repairing, rebuilding, getting dumpsters, getting friends to donate their time and their skills. you broke your arm, you had to get a tetanus shot. I mean, whatever on that part, but yeah. No, that's your house. You do what you want with it. Sorry. They rented. They did nothing to obtain it. They sold their share. They have no say in it. You know, you should have thought about your kids when that house was available, and then you could possibly have put effort into it so that you have a place for your kids. You didn't do that. Therefore, you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. You sold your share. You get nothing. You don't put in the effort, you don't get the reward. And it's as simple as that. That is seriously my take on it. You didn't put any effort into it. You sold your share. You wanted no part of it. Therefore, you get no say in what's done with the house. The house is beautiful now. It's sellable. It's got value. If people want to live in it. You've got some people, friends that want to live with you there. It's your place. End of story. And that's going to close it out for this Baltimore version of this week's podcast. PositiveSarcasm.com is where you want to go for all your questions, concerns, comments. Like, subscribe, share, donate. PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. I want to go down to the Burlington Coat Factory, see if they got another shirt. You can also email me directly, PositiveSarcasm@Outlook.com. And you know where you can find me, anywhere where podcasts are available, audio-wise, YouTube and Rumble, Positive Sarcasm. Hit me up on Instagram, at @Positive_Sarcasm. Love to have a chat with you there. All my accounts are private, so go ahead and do a request. In the meantime, thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing. And I'll talk to you all next week. Recorded here from Baltimore, Maryland. This has been a Positive Sarcasm.
I've been hearing that they think my political music is boring. Tell them I'm sorry. I've been rapping about things that I feel are important. I could talk about how rich I am, all these little rappers that I'm bigger than. I could show you the impact addiction had, how the liquor turned me to a different man. I'm not the kid who was visiting Disneyland. I'm not a perfect Christian, have a sinner's past. But I sobered up, prescriptions hit the trash. Now I'm sitting back with 50 billboard plaques, $20 million and a million fans. Middle fingers flipping, I can't flip them back. I'm so independent, so they get the message. I've been spitting facts, I'm not a fiction fan. I am the truth, I am the GOAT, I am the proof. You can reach every one of your goals. You can be too drunk, way too high, but it's never too late to have hope. I am the one. I'm gonna preach. You can reach every one of your dreams. You can be up against the whole entire world, and you can beat them if you just believe. They've been saying I'm Illuminati and I'm going to hell. They're desperately searching for any excuse to explain why I've done what they can't do themselves. The only way they can make sense of my famous claim, I worship Satan and labels have helped. I don't have an advantage, it's natural talent. Your ego is damaged, admit that you failed. I remember back when I was the only political rapper. What the hell happened? All of a sudden everyone who never gave a damn got political and started rapping. Tragic, I should be flattered. Man, I created the genre, they practically jacked it. Acting like they're in the conversation, they ain't nowhere near it, on a different planet. This is not YouTube, this is upper echelon. I'm president of Sony on my telephone. I get what I want, how I want, when I want, until the day that I'm dead and gone. The internet in love with beef, they want rappers at war. But I don't care who's coming at me, I swore that I wouldn't do disses no more. The last time I battled the man that I trampled, lost his career and then had a divorce. That wasn't fair, homie got torched. I feel the weight like I'm carrying around a corpse. Still no deal, still no team, still just little old me. Still making fun of the whole industry, still rap on my own beats. I'm the only multimillionaire in my family tree. I keep hearing rumors that my parents rich and that's how I got in the lead. That's a big L-I-E, if you wanna know the truth, I guess. I can show you why I move like this. Let me take you back into my head, tell you about the movie I live. Former alcoholic, nothing in my wallet. Every doctor said that I was depressed. Should be in a coffin or inside a cardboard box and addicted to meth. I was sleeping on my best friend's couch, always dreaming of a West End house. We was living in a basement, sweet east side, praying we get out. Motorcycles on the front lawn, bunch of crackheads in the alley. Open up my bedroom window and tell them there's empty bottles they can have. Cops at the door, I couldn't sleep, making up noodles to eat for a week. I couldn't stomach the food I was making if I wasn't high, so I always had weed. Leaving the crib and the neighbors are tripping, I flip them the bird, I ain't stopping to talk. They leaving us notes on the passenger window, cause we always park in the whip in they spot. 10 in the morning, we sipping on 40s and taking the Honda Civic up the block. Looking for one of my homies who living on the street cause he got addicted to rocks. Waiting in line at church, they giving out food. I would pull up every second Sunday, get some hard-boiled eggs and juice. That was the move. I was a broke boy, then I blew up. I was suicidal, yeah, the mood sucked. Now I've been rich, I done made hits. I've been praying, I don't screw it up. And now that I've blown up, they're mad that I've grown up. They missing my old stuff. They say my political music's all sounding the same and the flows suck. I'm never gonna be the old Tom or recapture the magic of old songs. I don't know, Tom. You the GOAT, Tom. Give me what I want or I will go, Tom.
Shut up!
I'm not the guy that you fell in love with back when I was young and dumb. Always getting drunk, taking hella drugs, living in the ghetto, no food for a month. Couldn't pay the power bill, the shower filled with towels, mold, and hella bugs. That was the old Tom, that was broke Tom. Stop saying you miss who I was. Now you can give me all the Gucci, give me all the Louis, give me everything I want at once. Give me Lamborghinis, give me all my flowers, give you everything I have to show me love. Now they call me racist and they say I'm canceled, but I guarantee you that there will be blood. I ain't going nowhere, I ain't stopping nothing, I'ma really go there, I don't give a f- I'm the best thing going right now, they can't mess with me. I've been up, I've been down, I climbed out my grave. I'll be great, way before today, and I'll be great till I decide to walk away. And I'm the one you have to thank for every independent artist getting Billboard plaques. I showed everybody how to beat the record labels and still I don't get no thanks. Everybody who been hating on me got these every little thing I'm doing. I mean, they dress like me, sign CDs, no one is buying their music. I'm the blueprint for these YouTube kids. Every single little view you get, every time you get an iTunes check, you just imitate what I do best. I'm on Fox News, I'm on Rolling Stone, in the New York Times, on the radio, got a billion views, Millie on the gram. You still paying to be verified, man. I am the reason that Billboard removed all the digital sales charts off their website. I was outperforming label artists and executives pressured them to hit the red light. Universal, Warner Music, Sony, CEOs wanted me dead, but they ain't never gonna really kill me. They just canceled the digital charts instead. Stop telling me that anyone else is bigger than I am. Go get the Nielsen sound scan numbers. Tell me what you find, man. Who's the biggest I am? They're angry that I love America. Guess it's a problem because I'm Canadian. I live in the States. I gave 200 grand to the veterans. I am a patriot. I am not faking this. I don't need to keep on making hits. Could've retired 3 years ago, basically. Go check my bank account, buddy. I'm crazy rich. I don't need money. I rap because I'm made for this. I am only doing this because I love it. I told every record label they can shove it. Rappers hate on me, but I'm above it. 93 Shawn Michaels. Everyone can suck it. They want photos when they see me out in public. Then they trash me in the comments, what a bummer. I sign autographs and spill my guts and stomach. All I get is people praying that I'll plummet. I came a long way, dreamt of this all day. I should have saw graves, but God saves. I got faith, what a loser. I needed boost to maneuver, bottles of hooch in the cooler. Now I'm the proof that you can choose to be a trooper and regroup and pursue a future, be a ruler. Screw all the rumors and all the dudes who be acting stupid on computers. Hate is a fuel that humans can use to improve themselves if they don't let their wounds ruin their movement. You can do it and then you can lose it. You can choose to view it through some different pupils. You can shoot for the moon if you miss it, recoup it, and then execute it till you make it through it. There ain't no excuses, the rules are confusing, so break them and use them to find the solution. The truth is you're losing till you are immune and you turn the abuse into your revolution. I've been addicted to plenty of pills, poor and mentally ill. If I can do it, you can do it. I went from homeless and drunk to turning down record deals. I done got so many wins that I forget the wins. So many plaques inside the crib, they're getting hard to live. They so jealous, I'm just glad that I ain't them. Thank God I ain't them. They got money, they got pennies, they got dollars, but they ain't been making any sense. They got hundreds, they got thousands. I got 10, 11, 15, 20 something M's. But this ain't always what my life was like. Honestly, it still give me chills. Way before all of my viral songs, before I was living in Beverly Hills, way before I went and sobered up, back when me and Brandon couldn't pay the bills, way back when I should have been locked up, overdosed or getting killed. My sister called me from the hospital, said her job's killing her, and that was a fact. She working overtime often, out of options, having panic attacks. Didn't let her finish talking, told her walk in and to quit and call back. Next thing I know, she's in California and she's working for Hangover Gang. And daddy always told me I was special and one day I would conquer the music business. And I guess he was right, cause look at my life. I just bought him a new Porsche for Christmas. And mama worked harder than any woman on earth. Her boss would have never have fired her. I recognized they weren't giving her what she was worth, so I retired her. This ain't white privilege, this ain't trust fund. This ain't good luck, this ain't silver spoon. This is hard work, this is long nights. This is all me, this is what I do. This is palm trees and Ferraris and a calm breeze and a pretty view. If you don't believe I deserve it, then you never lived the life I did and you wouldn't make it through. I came out of a city where I still don't get no respect. I moved away and I blew up and everyone else is still stuck in the town that I left. I'm not impressed, and they've been saying my video views are all fake, and I honestly hope it helps get them some rest. I'm worth like 30 million motherfucking dollars. All you bums are living check to check. Now everybody is an enemy, they all jealous that I'm a celebrity. Well, screw them, screw the government, screw the record label, screw the mainstream. I'm in God mode, they in beast mode. We are not the same, we ain't equals. And I pray to God that you can deep throat. Got 11 inches for you weak hoes. Y'all cannot critique me, y'all ain't in my league still. All your hate completes me, I can't be killed. Y'all just wanna be me, maybe be chill. Leave them bleeding in a wheat field. All my missiles heat seek, you can beat me, homie, keep still. I can tell that you don't eat meat. Ton of green beans, you a vegan when the beef's real. Everybody's saying I'm fake, but they're the ones who really faking though. And their songs all on YouTube, well my songs on the radio. They claim they hate fame, but they change when they need streams. Then they say names and play games and take game and hate on me.
Wait, I got one more thing I gotta say.
I don't need any more money. These days I just do it for all of my fans. I pray to God I inspire somebody or show someone who thinks they can't that they can. I'ma keep going till I'm in the coffin. I promise no stopping till I kick the can. Till the day that they're dropping my box in the ground, it's Hangover Gang.